And I had a few girlfriends that I had met friends at work. We went there that evening to the dance. It was a, we used to give a dance, a big dance. I think it must have been New Year's Eve. And Belenka was still in town at that time.
And was he an organizer?
He was an organizer. Uh-huh. He came from Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he had two brothers. One brother was connected in New York. I think he was an engineer. He had something to do. No, the engineer was in a different town somewhere. He had something to do with the planes. He did a plane, whether he engineered a plane or something, I don't know. And then in that industry he was an engineer. And the other brother was in New York. He was a redactor in an Italian newspaper. I think that's what he told me, or somebody told me, I think. And he worked for his brother in the newspaper. But how he came to Baltimore, I wouldn't know how he came to Baltimore. But he came from Baltimore to Chicago. We needed Italian organizers. And we got, the union got him from Baltimore. He was very active in Baltimore. And he got to be very active over here. And Grandinetti, he made friends with Grandinetti in Chicago. And with Mary Pitre. Did you ever meet Mary Pitre? There's another character, but I don't know. But I don't think he's alive yet. He was for many years in the bank, sitting in the bank. They made him for vice president of the bank when the bank was organized. And he made friends with him, the bank.
Uh-huh.
With Grandinetti and Mary Pitre. They were Italian three men. And when the strike was over, he stayed here yet a little bit to organize everything. And that night I went to that dance, to the Coliseum, and he wanted to say goodbye to me. He was leaving a day or two after that, he was leaving back to Baltimore. And he wanted to say goodbye to me. So he found somebody, a man, a little Italian fella, to tell him, and he told him that he knew where I went, because I told him that where I was going, to a dance. And to go to that place to tell him, to tell me that he's leaving and he wants to see me in a restaurant on Holster Street, somewhere in a restaurant. I don't remember where. It was an Italian restaurant. I don't remember where that restaurant was even. And he also, so I felt sorry that he was leaving, because he took me once to a symphony. And he took me once to opera, and we were just friends, nothing else, just friends, and he was very nice. He was, did I show you a picture of his? Where did I see his picture? I saw a picture somewhere of his. Oh, there was this picture in some magazine, there was this picture. And that's all, he was a very nice man, intelligent man. And he gave me a couple of books to read. And in fact, he left me a book. I don't remember what kind of book it was. He gave me a present, a book, before he went away. And he wanted me to go with him. He said he's going to give me a job in Baltimore. And he's going to send me to school. And that's all. So I took it for granted that that's what he said to me.
Uh-huh.
And I came home running, and I said, Auntie, I'm going to Baltimore. And I used to tell my aunt about him, that he was so nice to me all the time. So my aunt said, with whom? With the Italian fella? I said, yeah. She said, oh, my God. If your mother will find out that you went with the Italian fella away, she'll die from a heart attack. Like that. So I stopped crying. I said, all right, Andy, I wouldn't go, I wouldn't go, I wouldn't go anymore. And he had those friends of his promised him, and he had another friend that worked in a bank that was on Halsted and Taylor Street. There was a bank on the corner, towards the, across the street of the whole house somewhere.
Uh-huh.
It was a bank, an Italian bank. And he had a friend over there. And he told his friend that any time I'll decide to go, he should buy me a ticket and put me on the train direct to Baltimore and let him know that I'm coming. So I never went to his friend. I never went anything. But I had a couple of letters. I wrote him a letter. He left me the address. I wrote him a letter that my aunt doesn't let me go to Baltimore. So he wrote me back, you haven't got anybody here, just one aunt. And over here, you'll have a career. You'll do much more things and so on. And I'll give you time to make up your mind. And I never answered him to that letter. And then he got married. And he married Dorothy Belanco. Everybody knows in the Union who Dorothy Belanco is. This one, Harriman wouldn't know it, but maybe he heard of her. That Dorothy Belanco's picture was hanging in everybody's room. She was also a working girl in Baltimore. And he put her to school, and he took her in an amalgam. Oh, she was an amalgamated girl, all right. He met her in the amalgamated. And she became a great woman in the amalgamated Dorothy Belanco. In her picture, I don't know, they took up all the pictures from the halls. You might ask Herman,
okay,
whether you could find Dorothy Belanco a picture. You know, Morris used to tell me all the time, if you would have married Belanco, August Belanco, you would have been Dorothy Belanco, Lottie Belanco now. Not that there would not be a Dorothy Belanco.
Lottie, I'm really curious. Do you think, in a way, that you were kind of forced to grow up too fast? You mentioned, you know,
that was my own willpower. Nobody pushed me. When I left home, at home, my father was around me all the time to go to school and to do this and to do that. I was involved in the store to help my mother and father. And we had a couple of stores. My father was in a different city, and I was in a different city than my mother. Then I went to help my father. Then I had in Chavachinik store. My father put me in there. When am I going to get the pictures back?
This week.
Yeah. I'll be there Wednesday. I'll be too tired tomorrow.
I'll bring them to the elephant sale.
Yeah?
I'll bring them down to you.
All right, that'll be fine.
Okay.
That'll be fine. So I was in, but here, as I came here, I wanted to know everything. I wanted to know everything. There was nothing too hard for me to learn.
So you don't feel that...
No, nobody pushed me to it. No, nobody pushed me to it.
Lottie, you were mentioning one time that you said that you knew how to handle yourself because a couple of times the boys had been tough to you when you lived at home and you ignored them. What kinds of things?
No, when I came here, and at home too, I had a couple of fellows that were after me at home too.
How did they act up to you?
Well, they were here. Like suppose we went to Riverview Park. We had a Riverview Park on a Riverview Park.
Uh-huh.
All kind of amusements like they have on the carnivals. All kind of, you know, on carnivals how they have all those things. Mm-hmm. And we had here, but it was on the west place. It was open land, a big place, maybe for a mile all around, all over. And we would go out together with some girls, girlfriends, and I mentioned Dora and Sophie. Dora, that it was one where I met Sal, and we would go out there with three fellas. We would go out. If one didn't have a fella, the other one brought in a fella. So we should all have fellas. And they had an underpass on the water, on the boat. And the fellas took around the girls, and they used to kiss, and they used to hug. And I always pushed them away. I was a very shy girl. I always pushed them away. And then that's all that I could remember. I didn't want to go with fellas. When they, once I went out with a fella, and we went in the park, and he was much older than I. I wanted to sit on the bench, and he wanted to sit on the ground, and I didn't want it, because I sat once on the ground, and they put their hands on the legs, and I didn't want them to pat me.
Uh-huh.
So, things like that.
Yeah.